Good afternoon, good evening, and God bless. Welcome to season 4 of Voices of Wisdom live on Tribe Family Channel, brought to you by Gumbo for the Soul International and Bruce George Media. I am the creator of Tribe Family Channel, Beverly Black Johnson, and I am so honored to be with you and to welcome the guests that we have upcoming on this historical day. We left off last season paying tribute to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and we are picking up season 4 with Dr. Alveda King, the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and Deborah Watts, interviewed by Shante Pulliam in part 2 of tonight's show. Also, historically, today we celebrate the 50th anniversary of the Historic Voting Rights Act, one of the most effective pieces of civil rights legislation in our country's history, through its removal of discriminatory election practices. It is today that we honor those who marched 54 miles from Selma, Alabama, to defend the spirit of our democracy, that we are all created equal. Today's guest is Dr. Alveda King. Dr. Alveda King is the daughter of the late slain civil rights activist, Reverend A.D. King, and his wife, Naomi Barber King. Alveda is the grateful mother of 6 children, and she is a doting grandmother. During the more than half century of her life, Alveda has worked towards her purpose of glorifying God in the earth by accomplishing many goals. Currently, Alveda is a minister of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, serving as director of African American Outreach for Gospel of Life, headed up by Father Frank Pavone of Priest for Life. She also consults with the African Humanitarian Christian Fellowship, founded by her mentor, Pastor Alan McNair, of Believers' Bible Christian Church in Atlanta, Georgia. She is a former college professor holding a Master's of Arts degree in Business Management. Her undergraduate studies in journalism and sociology helped her become a published author. The most popular works being her best-selling book, Son of Thunder, The King Family Legacy, and I Don't Want Your Man, I Want My Own. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Alveda King. How are you today, Dr. Alveda King?
I am just so blessed to you and your listening audience, your co-host, the subject matter we're going to be discussing this evening. This is a very fascinating time that we're living in, and I just really greet everybody and just say God bless you.
And God bless you, too. We are so thankful and grateful to have you with us today to discuss, you know, these very, very important and relevant matters, especially in today's climate and the continued civil rights movement, the new era of civil rights where we are today, where Black Lives Matter, coming upon the first year anniversary of the slaying of Mike Brown. And then we have some very important issues that are, you know, that you are working behind, with defunding Planned Parenthood, and we're going to get to all of that. We also have Little Jimmy, and we're going to talk about this animated character that comes to life through a young teenage creative force, and we also have a song that we're going to hear. So what I would like to ask you to expound about, because I know that, you know, we have a limited amount of time with you, but where do you see Black America, and then we're going to go through, you know, our little bullet points and get to the Planned Parenthood piece. But where do you see the civil rights movement today in comparison or in relation to how far we've come and how far we have to go?
You know, I really hadn't thought about which direction we would approach all these topics, which direction God would choose for us. But I'm thinking now, I had gone when Trayvon was killed, I had been over with Stanford praying to avert violence. And then I went to Ferguson. And by the time that the Ferguson event had occurred, God had spoken to me several months before and saying, I want you to do a tent meeting. So in my own little finite mind, I said, oh, God wants me to stop what I'm doing, raise money, start a tent ministry. That's not what God meant. He wanted me to go and minister to people outside the four walls of the church. So when I got to Ferguson, believe it or not, I went to a tent meeting with a group called the Ferguson Response by Jonathan Tremaine. And Michael Brown's uncle was one of the preachers that was at that tent meeting often when I was in Ferguson. Ended up getting on over later to Baltimore. Now, all this violence was erupting around the nation, and people were like, no justice, no peace. And God was saying, K-N-O-W, peace. No peace, know and understand peace and the principle of peace, then you can know and understand and receive justice. So right in the midst of all that turmoil in Baltimore, I met a young man named Lil Jimmy. And Lil Jimmy came walking through the crowd, and it just captured my attention there. And I said, what in the world is this? And so as we were there, I was reminded of the civil rights movement of the 20th century, because Lil Jimmy was causing the little children to come. He was drawing little children, and Lil Jimmy and I talked and everything, and Lil Jimmy was standing by my car. We had just met, and God let me know that all this was supposed to happen, and a little child, and the Bible says a little child shall lead them. A little child walked up to me and Lil Jimmy and looked up and said, why are you here?
Wow.
So the response was, we are here because we love you and God loves you, and we want you to have a safe community and a lovely life, or something like that. And so as we introduce all the topics that we have to talk about, what is connecting the civil rights movement of the 20th century and the 21st century? It's the love of God, the beloved community that my uncle M.L., Martin Luther King Jr., talked about, where people are respected and regarded and loved. Now, we can talk about sin and what's right and what's wrong. We must do that, but not in such a way that we want people to feel that there is no room for them. Everybody is going to find that God's arms are open to everybody. And
amen,
that is the message of the 20th and the 21st century.
Amen to that. And you know, when you study your word and when you listen to that still voice, you know, within you, that peace, that knows, that guiding voice, it edifies that relationship with God. And when we can reflect that outwardly, then we can come together. And it doesn't matter what color. You know, we talk about Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter, and then we hear the people rise up and say, all lives matter. And it's not that, and they do, and it's not that we're disregarding everyone, but we have to heighten we have to just heighten awareness that all lives do matter, but it's the Black ones that are still being slain. It is the Black ones that whose blood screams from the soil of this land, you know, and it is the reason for the continued civil rights movement. So if all lives matters, then stop killing the Black lives so we can stop with this civil rights movement and mobility and focus on God's love and purpose in our lives.
And that's true. But you know, you've got to get to a point, because everything you said is absolutely true. But we cannot get into strife and arguments in the process, because mm-hmm. you know everything you just said, and you don't, and I did not hear that in your voice, by the way. Mm-hmm. And so you said, well, yes, we agree, all lives matter. Mm-hmm. So demonstrate it by not killing the Black lives that matter. That's exactly what we need to keep saying, and mm-hmm. to say it in such a way that people will finally hear it. And so mm-hmm. Because as I watched the arguments, and somebody tried to go and say, and so the point was Black Lives Matter. And as a matter of fact, we just left Selma on Juneteenth. When I say we, the National Black Pro-Life Coalition, mm-hmm. headed up by Catherine Davis, that particular march of the Restoration Project. Mm-hmm. And she said, Black women matter. Hashtag Black women matter.
Love it.
So everybody else wanted to do everything else, and even the white women, all that. She says, no, if you can't join us this particular day on Juneteenth, the observance of slaves in Texas 150 years ago, finding mm-hmm. out they were free, mm-hmm. then stay home and let us just do it.
You know.
So the white women really did come, though. And
right.
they carried Black women matter. And they
wow.
said, well, since all women matter, then that definitely means Black women matter. And they actually carried the signs with us.
And that is so beautiful. That is what is so beautiful, is that when you do look out across the landscape and we look at what's happening in Ferguson, and by the way, you heard it first live on Tribe Family Channel, Pastor Corey Bush from Ferguson's Frontline will be starting her show on Tribe Family Channel. Prayerfully, she'll be reporting in Saturday, because there's so many events happening in honor of Mike Brown's memory this weekend. And so to touch on that, but it is beautiful to see that there are people out there standing shoulder to shoulder of so many different ethnicities, and then to see the international pictures that are pouring in. You know, it's a matter of humanity. It is a matter of life mattering. So, yes. Now, I don't want to go to that and negate to ask you, before we get to the Planned Parenthood piece, about your uncle and aunt, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and Coretta Scott King, and their roles in the Civil Rights Movement. What would you say, and also your parents, what would you say is most pivotal about your activism as it relates to theirs? So to say that you picked up the baton, how did you know, and what was so pivotal about that baton being handed off to you?
I was born into a Christian family of preachers. And at that time, you know, people were a little more chauvinistic back then than they were now. And women preachers were not as accepted when I was born almost 65 years ago. So the preachers were men. Of course, mm-hmm. that has changed now. I'm an evangelist myself, and mm-hmm. Cousin Bernice is a preacher. But mm-hmm. I was born into a family of preachers. So I grew up believing the word of God, believing that Jesus is the Son of God, and that is still in my life today as an evangelist. Also, the civil rights movement grew during my young lifetime, and my uncle Martin Luther King Jr. was pushed towards the forefront of that movement. My dad joined him, Reverend Alfred Daniel Williams King, Martin Luther King Jr.'s wife, Coretta Scott King, a strong voice in the movement, my mother, Naomi King, Daddy mm-hmm. King before them. And then his wife's father, Adam Daniel King. And then before that, her grandparents, Willis and Lucretia Williams. So I came from a prophetic family, a Christian family, and also civil rights-minded family. Daddy King's grandfather, William Nathan Branham King from Cork, Ireland. And that's how Daddy King was able to say to his children, of one blood, that's Acts 17:26, God made all people to dwell on the face of the earth. Mm-hmm. And he would always stand up and say, I'm a man. And so this is where I learned about the beloved community from them, from the womb. Daddy, my mother wanted to abort me in 1950. We'll get off of that in a little while. And Daddy mm-hmm. King says, you can't abort that baby. They were going to have a DNC. It wasn't a coat hanger or any of that. But a procedure for a mysterious female ailment. He says, you can't abort that baby, although abortion was illegal, but DNCs were not.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I saw her in a dream 3 years ago. She's a little girl with bright skin and bright red hair. She's going to bless many people.
Oh,
my mother
God.
Believed him. She kept me. Years later, I had some secret abortions the family didn't know about, and then I was going to abort a baby in the mid-70s. Granddaddy told me the same thing. He said, that's not a lump of flesh. That's my great-grandchild, you know. And that was
Lord.
My second live birth. I had had the miscarriage and the two abortions.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been that kind of a trail for me. I was born again in 83, confessed my own sins, and began to be a pro-life voice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I am today. So that's how I know civil rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's for everybody, no matter what your skin color happens to be, no matter if you're born or not born, no matter if you're old, if you're sick, no matter, you know, what state of life you're in, any sin, there's no sin that the blood of Jesus can't heal. And God absolutely loves everybody. Those are things that I have learned in the 65 years of my life.
Well, my Lord, hallelujah. You know, I got to stand up at this point. You know, I have got to stand up at this point. Now, I appreciate so much honesty and just candid transparency. I had planned, I did not know what you were going to say, but I had planned to confess to you this about myself.
Okay.
I had two abortions.
Oh.
And
I
this
did
is
too.
The first
oh,
time
wow.
that I am confessing
oh, wow.
this in public.
Okay.
So
okay.
from my heart to your heart, I'm taking up the baton with you for pro-life. The circumstances that I was born around, I was born between abortions. So there
okay,
was a, my
okay.
mother had an abortion before me and an abortion after me. So I don't know if I was wanted or whether it was, you know, safe to keep me or what. I don't know the circumstances. Both of my parents have gone on to glory now, so I'll never know. But I know the love of God, and it feels good to be able to hear you say that God loves us all and to confess our sins. So I have repeatedly asked the Lord for forgiveness, and I've received that forgiveness, but
yes,
I have never confessed to another human being outside of the, you know, witnesses and participants, obviously, but I never publicly confessed that. And I carried a lot of guilt and a lot of shame, a tremendous amount of guilt and shame. And so I'm leaving that at the cross here and now today on Tribe Family Channel, entrusted with, you know, this conversation and, you know, the world at this point. So let's talk about that forgiveness.
Wait before you go. I have to do this right here. I need you to raise, put one hand over your heart.
Oh, it's here.
And if you're able to raise the other hand, I don't know if what you're holding in your hands, your equipment or whatever, but God, this is a revelation. It's amazing
hallelujah.
How the word of God is. It's alive, it's quick and powerful. As a two-edged sword of a dividing asunder the soul and the spirit. But there's a scripture, and Jesus said, the hour is coming. He had said this, I guess it's the woman at the well, or the woman.
Oh, my God.
I know. It's gonna
I have a radio show called The Woman at the Well, so
okay.
you know you're tearing me up right now. My hand is on my heart, and the other one is in the air. Go ahead.
And you're like the woman at the well and the woman coming back, but Jesus said, the hour is coming, and in fact, it now is, that you worship the Lord of Spirit and the truth. He says, you don't even know what you worship, but we know what we worship. Ooh,
hallelujah.
Spirit of living
hallelujah.
God. But now listen to this. Worship does not mean singing or dancing. It can be expressed there, but worship, there's a tongue. I worship you, Almighty God. Well, say, I obey you,
hallelujah.
Almighty God. So the hour is coming, and now is. We that obey the Lord in our worship and expressions towards him must do it in spirit and in truth.
Mm-hmm.
And now you've just spoken the truth.
Amen.
And you did it in obedience.
Amen.
And now something has broken through the airwaves, and I know you know this. I just felt like I needed to say that.
thank you so much. To be able to receive these words from you is an honor. To be able to look in the face of God as I am doing now out the window,
Amen.
And just to hear and to know that His grace is with all of us, all of
mm-hmm.
life, and confess to Him and have that personal relationship. Like you said, true worship
is obedience.
True worship
is so much better than sacrifice.
That
Amen.
True worship will have you on your knees begging God,
mm-hmm.
please, you won't care
mm-hmm.
who can hear through the walls or anything. So I really, really appreciate what you've spoken into my spirit and on this show. And what I would like to know as we progress on to the point of the work that you're doing with Planned Parenthood, I want to read a quote of yours.
Okay.
It says, abortion is an attack on the family and the humanity that unites us all.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Alveda King,
mm-hmm.
expound
mm-hmm.
about the overall situation, Planned Parenthood, and what we're discussing.
I'm going to give that to you, but I got to say this, because even with the defunding of Planned Parenthood, identifying that the little babies in the womb are human beings and all that, Planned Parenthood tells so many lies, and they will say, Martin Luther King Jr. was with us. Well, Margaret Sanger says that colored people are like weeds, and they need to be exterminated. We don't want the word to get out. So let's cultivate some of their leaders. So all the way back into the early 1900s, during her early livelihood until she died in the late 1960s, they were given scholarships, awards, honors. They offered Martin Luther King Jr. the Planned Parenthood Maggie Award in 1966. I think they offered it to Rosa Parks, later different kind of people. But now, Martin Luther King Jr. was pro-life. He said
mm-hmm.
the Negro cannot win if he's willing to sacrifice the futures of his children for immediate personal comfort and safety. His wife was pro-choice, Ms. Coretta Scott King, just like Mrs. Laura Bush is Mrs. Barbara Bush. I was pro-choice for a while until I really understood what was going on. And so the slick marketing campaign, where they made it sound like this is for your community, your health, but now the family was under attack. Not just the African-American family, but definitely the African-American family, because she said colored people are like weeds and they need to be exterminated to cultivate their leaders. So it was genocide, it was eugenics. She was a consultant to the Ku Klux Klan. She was friends with people in Adolf Hitler's camp. That's what we were dealing with, but it just sounded so right. So I'm not upset with my sisters, Rosa Parks or Aunt Coretta or Ms. Barbara Bush, Ms. Laura Bush, any of them deceived. But come out of deception, people, if you're still breathing, know the truth and let it set you free now. See, that's the difference.
Amen.
Because
you can
receive this and be free. And you know what? The nature of God, our Father, is just like those of us who haven't had little children. All my children are grown now. I have grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the baby can have a dirty pamper or a dirty diaper on. It could be soaking wet or full of stuff. The baby doesn't even know. Run up to be picked up by mom and daddy. Now, mom and daddy are not going to say, I'm not picking you up, you nasty thing. They're going to pick you up, hug you, change your diaper, and keep working with you as you grow up.
Mm-hmm.
So
they're probably turning under your belt.
This is it. Come on, baby. Come on. I forgive
you, know?
You. I love you.
So
we're not putting anybody under condemnation.
Right.
We just want you to be, you know, convicted
free.
And be free. Just
and
be
free.
Free.
Because
so
I'm the same way.
Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry to cut you off, but I'm the same way. I did not know, you know, and so when I was faced with my abortions, it was, you know, one of those things where you're in a situation and you're looking for that way out, and it's perceived legal, it's perceived humane, because you have these powerful organizations and powerful people, and it's also the way the information is relayed. So it may seem ethical.
Right. And then see, the poor man nowadays, the men are getting in on this. Because some of them are saying, wait a minute, I regret lost fatherhood.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
I didn't have anything. So the father is affected. That's his seed.
Yes.
It's the woman has the fruit. The man has the seed. And all of that. Generations are impacted.
Mm-hmm,
so this is a wonderful time, because right now,
the floodgates are open for repentance, so it's just time to repent.
Every knee shall bow, so you may as well come on. You know, I'm so thankful and grateful that we were able to share the time that we have been able to share. What I'm going to do at this point is get ready for your special guest, Little Jimmy.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
now,
my goodness.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So give me 1 second and we're going to get him, open up his microphone. And then from there, we'll go ahead with his bio. Give me 1 second.
All right. And I'm going to be on mute while he's talking so you don't have too much feed at one time.
Well, his microphone is open now, so let us go into a little introduction first. Now, Little Jimmy, a positive voice for a positive choice, is an animated character who comes to life to promote a message of positivity to youth. Little Jimmy's material, songs, graphics, activity books, lyrics, etc., pertains to the continuing story of two of the most important segments of human existence, our youth and adults. This story is designed to bridge a tremendous gap in these two segments relevant to communication, appreciation, respect, history, future, fashion, education, entertainment, recreation, truth, justice, self-esteem, self-awareness, self-discipline, responsibility, accountability, and community, to name a few. Little Jimmy shares his message of positivity through the art of hip-hop, rap, spoken word, written word, and more so, entertainment. His message, with the help of his grandfather, the old man, and his DJ, DJ Positivity, is making an impact across the nation. You can learn more about him at littlejimmy12.com. And without further ado, Little Jimmy, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you doing, ma'am?
Hi, Little Jimmy. Hello, I'm Beverly Black Johnson. I'm the creator of Tribe Family Channel, and Dr. Alveda King is still right here with us. We want to play a song that I understand the two of you did in the studio.
Yeah. Matter of fact, Grandma Vita, she's very, very inspirational. That's why I call her Grandma Vita. And but yeah, we got a cool little song. I believe you got it. What is it? Thanks to America, I can be the president. Or is it
Yes, I can song. Yes, the I can
and
song.
Little Jimmy, I can song. We got that. And you can do it, Little Jimmy. This is Grandma Alveda. Yes, you can do it. Yes, you can.
Yeah, I can.
Well, let's hear the song. We're going to hear the song, and then we're going to ask you to explain the inspiration behind it, all right?
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Here we go. Set the song up for us. You go introduce the song for us, the I Can song.
Hey, check this out. This song is produced here in my studios in Atlanta, Georgia. Grandma Vita inspired, and Miss Diane and Miss Ruth and everybody that just supports what I'm doing. The name of the song is called I Can, because I can do all things. I can live in peace and harmony. I can live in good health. I can wait. I can dream. But more than all, thanks to America, I can be the President of the United States. There you go. Set up. Bye.
Bam.
There's no better time or place where as young people have to encourage ourselves and say, I can accomplish things. I can live in peace and harmony. I can love others. I can walk in good health. I can wait, and I can dream. Come on. I can accomplish all things. Live in peace and harmony. Love our brothers and sisters, no matter what their color be. I can walk in good health, physically and spiritually. I can wait, I can dream. The president give me. Look at the man in the mirror and say, I can. Person next to you and say I can. Look at the ones who doubt you and say I can. Look at the ones who don't know about you and say I can. Those words are so encouraging, and when I use them properly, I can ensure my future has a chance of flourishing, nourishing my brain and my heart. A positive content is the foundation, understanding what God meant when he said I can love everybody, even if they don't look like me. Even if more than likely my love will come back to bite me, I can take hits and punches, cause I know it makes me stronger. The gain from the pain helps me live longer. trust who I can gamble with my choices. I'm picking cards to see if it matches some of these voices. I learn sleight of hand so I can trick sisters and brothers. I keep a poker face like I don't see others. Come on, I can accomplish all things. Live in peace and harmony, love my brothers and sisters. No matter what their color be, I can walk and can walk. Physically and spiritually, I can wait, I can dream the president can be me. Look at the man in the mirror and say I can.
I can.
Look at the person next to you and say I can.
I can.
Look at the ones who doubt you and say I can.
I can.
Look at the ones who don't know about you and say I can.
I can.
I can accomplish all things. Live in peace and harmony, love our brothers and sisters. No matter what their color be, I can walk and can walk. Physically and spiritually, I can wait, I can dream the president can be me. Look at the man in the mirror and say I can.
I can.
Person next to you and say I can.
I can.
Look at the ones who doubt you and say I can.
I can.
Look at the ones who don't know about you and say I can.
I can.
I can accomplish all things. Live in peace and harmony. Love my brothers and sisters. No matter what their color be, I can walk and can walk. Physically and spiritually,
I can
wait. I can dream the president can be me. Look at the man in the mirror and say I can.
I can.
Look at the person next to you and say I can.
I can.
Look at the ones who doubt you and say I can.
I can.
Look at the ones who don't know about you and say I can.
I can.
Hey. That was all right with me. I know I can. I feel so empowered. Little Jimmy, that is something else. And you all did that in the studio in Georgia, in Atlanta, Georgia?
Yes, ma'am.
Little Jimmy has a studio. I've been visiting it. I go over, and Miss Diane and Miss Ruth and Mr. Matt and I, we pray, we inspire. Now, that's Little Jimmy singing now. Nobody's singing that but Little Jimmy.
Wow.
In the background, you've got a lot of encouragement. And you'll hear Grandmama Alvita on some of the songs encouraging Little Jimmy. You'll hear my voice here and there. But God has empowered Little Jimmy with such a powerful, positive message.
Yes,
and I am so blessed by that song, Little Jimmy. I really am.
We are all blessed by that.
No, thank you, ma'am.
Go ahead,
I appreciate you so much.
Okay.
Yeah, listen, I'm going to have to slip away because I've got another little thing I have to take care of. So as you all finish that show, be empowered, be encouraged, and know you can do it. Yes, you can.
Yes, you can. And we want to thank you so much on behalf of myself, Beverly Black Johnson, and Bruce George Media, the producers of Tribe Family Channel. We want to thank you so very much for being on our show. And we're going to continue to follow you on Twitter and keep up with, you know, the movement and definitely help hold that baton. Thank you so much, Dr. Alvita King. Thank you so much, Little Jimmy. Continue with the great work that you're doing.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Love you, too. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen,
you are.
Go ahead, say that.
Oh, no, I was going to say that just remember, start, stay, and finish always positive. And if you don't understand how to enact love in your life, please follow my grandma. Grandma Alvita King, because that's one of the things she talks about all the time is love. And I thank you so much.
Amen, amen. And she's on Twitter, @AlvitaKing, AlvedaKing. Thank you so much, Dr. Alvita King. We are honored, and we will be in touch. Love you, too. And thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Tribe Family Channel. This is Beverly Black Johnson. We have just concluded the first half of our show with Dr. Alvita King and Little Jimmy, as you heard. Moving right along to part two, let me introduce the lovely host that will be taking over, Shantae Pulliam. This is part of her bio, and it kind of picks up, let's see, I'm actually in the middle of it here, so let me just scroll down a little bit. Shantae Pulliam is the founder of Nurturing Hearts, a self-esteem and self-development nonprofit organization for girls whose mission is to provide supportive leadership and life skills that will furnish and prepare girls 10 to 18 for a bright and positive future. And we are so honored to have her on the show to take over part two with her interview with Deborah Watts, family member and founder of Emmett Till's Legacy Foundation. How are you this afternoon, Shantae?
I'm doing well, Beverly. How are you?
I am blessed. I am blessed. I'm ready to kick back, relax, let you welcome your guest and listen to you do your thing. Is that all right?
Okay, I'm ready. Let's go.
Well, y'all go ahead. Deborah?
Yes, yes.
Hello.
Hello. Wanted to make sure you're on standby there. Shantae, go ahead.
Okay, are we ready? Okay, it is truly an honor to have with us today Ms. Deborah Watts, who is the co-founder, director, and president of the Emmett Till Legacy Foundation, and also the cousin of the late Emmett Till. Ms. Watts, I'm humbly honored to welcome you to the show today. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well, and it's a privilege and an honor to be with you this afternoon.
Oh, wonderful. Well, I want to first acknowledge the courage, the spiritual strength of Ms. Mamie Till, yourself, Ms. Watts, and your entire family for taking such an evil and inhumane tragedy, the murder of Emmett Till, and turning it into power and purpose to help and inspire and empower youth, in which personally and spiritually I believe was God sent. I quote from your website, quote, "The Emmett Till Legacy Foundation dedicates its ongoing efforts to turning an ugly part of American history into a positive, inspired, and empowered future for youth in America and across the world." Ms. Watts, speaking on behalf of a younger generation, where my mother was born in 1955, the year that Emmett Till was murdered, I had heard of Emmett Till, but his story was never really shared in schools, like Martin Luther King or Malcolm X, and I'm assuming it has never been told because what happened was so horrific. If it was shared with young, immature minds, it could quickly build up hatred and division. However, I think it's very important that we as a culture learn our history, good and bad, so that we continue to prevent it from repeating itself. So for those of us who are tuned in, Ms. Watts, and unfamiliar with what took place on August 28, 1955 in Lenny, Mississippi, could you please share with us the history of that day?
And before you do, Deborah, please, there's some feedback coming over the airwaves, so the volume needs to be turned down as much as possible on your end.
Okay, and I will try to do that. Is that a little better?
Great.
Yes, that's much better. Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Thank you. Sorry. Technology. Well, you know, for most of America who experienced this, most of them are elders, and they lived through the tragedy that happened in Mississippi. Emmett Till, age 17, the only son, the only child of Mamie Till, who was later married to Gene Mobley, wonderful man, traveled from Chicago to visit relatives in Mississippi. It was stated that, you know, she tried to get him to go to Omaha, Nebraska, to visit relatives, which is where I'm originally from. But he really wanted to visit Mose Wright's family and some of his cousins there. And so she decided, you know, I'm going to let him go with, you know, some instructions and with trying to identify what the culture was like there. But Emmett, as a gregarious boy who, you know, had a lot of fun and life in him and swag in him, and as you see some of the photos of him, you can see he was dressed nicely, you know, and he had this style about him. And so in going to Mississippi with relatives, Simeon Wright, along with Wheeler Parker, and those two are alive today, all went to Money, Mississippi, to a store there, which was the Bryant Grocery Store.
Right.
And in the Bryant Grocery Store, Emmett bought some candy. You know, their intent was to buy some candy and other items. And it is reported that, and it, you know, was alleged, but it later verified by Simeon Wright and Wheeler Parker, that Emmett, during that exchange there, whistled at Carolyn Bryant, who also is still alive. And they, Simeon and Wheeler, knew at that moment, oh, my goodness, you know, this is something that we don't do here in Mississippi. And so they decided, hey, we need to exit quickly. They went home. They didn't tell Mose Wright what happened. Mose himself would have known exactly what to do had he known. So
right.
A couple days later, the husband of Carolyn Bryant and her brother-in-law were directed to Emmett, to Mose Wright's home. Now, who did that? We really don't know for sure. But after Carolyn made the report to her husband, they decided, listen, this is something we're going to have to take care of. And
right.
So they did. They found Emmett. They came into the home at gunpoint, flashlights in their faces, and asked who was the boy that did all the talking. So fast forwarding this, they kidnapped Emmett at gunpoint. Mose Wright had guns sitting by the door, but they weren't loaded. And had he known earlier that this had happened, he would have been ready, you know, for them. But it was typical during those days when someone misbehaved, quote unquote, or someone got out of line, quote unquote, the whites in the community felt it was important to teach them a lesson. Whip them up, beat them up, whatever, send them back home. So that was the assumption that I'm told that Mose Wright had. Hey, they're probably just going to rough them up a little bit and bring them back. But it was terrifying for Wheeler, for Simeon, and that entire family when they took him because they had no idea really what was going to happen. And they were angry. So if we fast forward it, Emmett did not come back. You know, this was like 2 in the morning. He didn't come back. And a few days later, his body surfaced in the Tallahatchie River. So they took him that night and drove him around. They beat him. They took him to a barn that's still there in Mississippi. They went and got a 75-pound cotton fan, tied it around his neck after beating him. And brutally, you know, murdering him, they ended up putting his body in the Tallahatchie River, not intending for it to surface again with the 75-pound cotton gin tied around his neck. And so it is a story, it is a painful one that our country has endured for a long time. The most significant part of this is that when his mother found out what happened, she decided to have an open casket funeral, which was unheard of at that time. Mamie decided that the world needed to see what was done to her son. And so having that open casket funeral, having the trial for those murderers who experienced an acquittal, they were found not guilty, having them confess to the murder, to Look Magazine and be paid $4,000. All of this led up to the country being just outraged at what happened. And
now they were able to identify Emmett by a ring that he had, right? Because his body, once it rose up, it was unidentifiable, right? It wasn't identifiable, was it?
That's correct.
Right.
A ring that his father had given him, which was initial on it. It was till.
And that kind of where you were going, it kind of gets me to my next question. That you know, they weren't intending for him to rise up, but what the enemy meant for bad, God would turn it around and turn it into something good. And I know and believe, and I can certainly just tell by the history of the story that his death was certainly not in vain. His mother, Mamie Teal, she quoted, God had chosen Emmett for this particular mission. It has been said that Emmett Till's death was the spark that ignited the civil rights movement and put an end to the racist Jim Crow law. Could you kind of tell me a little bit about how the death brought about that positive change in America? Was it a wake-up call? Was it a small movement that may have been going on with civil rights, but then once it hit the surface, it just kind of flooded through. The civil rights movement just kind of flooded throughout America. Is that kind of what took place? Like, how exactly did that whole process take place?
Well, you know, I think one of the significant things that happened, in addition to her having the open casket funeral, Ebony, mm-hmm. the owners of Ebony Magazine, the Chicago Defender, they published the remains of Emmett. When that picture was published, it went all across the world. So not only were Americans horrified at the brutality, at the hate, at the sign that, you know, no one is really safe. If a 14-year-old could experience the kind of beating that he experienced, and to have him die at the hands of these confessed murderers, everybody was outraged. So, yes, it was this spark that started the modern civil rights movement. Certainly, there were other things that were happening across the country. But when Rosa Parks, now this was August 28, 1955, when Emmett was murdered. Mm-hmm. Rosa Parks, December 1st, 1955, decided that it was time. She thought about Emmett Till. And she decided it was time for her to take a stand. And that's why, and that's how she was inspired to do what she did. Everybody knows about Rosa Parks and December 1st. But mm-hmm. many people don't tie in her inspiration and why she did that to Emmett Till. And she said that years later. She said that to Jesse Jackson. She said that in other interviews. And she also confessed that to Emmett's mother. So, mm-hmm. yes, this was the beginning, but it was a part of, you know, I don't want to say people weren't doing anything, but they were. But this is what amplified it for everyone. People, when you see that picture, and I'd like to encourage your audience to, if they don't know anything about Emmett, just Google Emmett's name, E-M-M-E-T-T-T-I-L-L, and they will see several different images. But one of the images that they're going to see is what everybody saw that went to that funeral. Yeah. And what the world saw when they saw that picture. You know, those murderers, they had to kill Emmett. They could, in their confession, Look Magazine, where they were paid $4,000, they said that Emmett represented something that they didn't want to happen and to spread around. He represented a sense of freedom, a sense of power. And when we talk about the 50th anniversary of the Voting Rights Act, they said that if Emmett didn't die, that it would have meant that we would have the right to vote. They had to put fear in our hearts. So Emmett's murder was for more than a whistle. It was for the right to vote. It was for interracial relationships. Yes. And it was also for the rising up in dignity and the freedom of African Americans. So Emmett's murder and the remains, the confession, the civil rights movement starting, it's a very significant part of history that everyone, in my opinion, they need to know about. We need to understand it so that it never happens again. And that's why, you know, we took Mamie's quote when she was at the Civil Rights Memorial. We took her quote and made that part of our mission. Because it was all about the future. She actually thought about the future. She got her career going right after that. You know, she became a teacher. She finished her education and dedicated her life to young people, teaching them all of Martin Luther King's speeches. And that's why with your former guest, with the guest on before me, Alveda King, this is so ironic. But within, you know, a spiritual realm, it's intended because these are things that are all tied together. They're part of our history, and we need to remember and continue to talk about.
Absolutely. Now, we will get the opportunity to hear the Emmett Till story. There is a documentary coming up on HBO that I hear that Will Smith and Jay-Z have collaborated to bring forth. Yeah. And I think that is going to be a beautiful. And that is, to me, that is long overdue.
It is.
Overdue.
Well, can I say to you that, you know, there are many documentaries. I show one called the, it's called Who Killed Emmett Till. I also have one that's called The Story of Mamie Till Mobley. That was done by the Black Family Channel. Also, mm-hmm. Keith Beauchamp, who is a filmmaker, has done The Untold Story of Emmett Till. There's many documentaries out there. PBS did one by Stanley Nelson.
Yes.
And in addition to what Will Smith, you know, they got a lot of press on what they're doing, but that was the mm-hmm. third announcement within about a month's period of time, because Chaz Ebert and Chris Benson, who mm-hmm. are going to take a book that Mamie Till Mobley co-wrote with Chris Benson, and they're uh-huh. going to adapt that to a feature film. And then in addition to that, Mamie was, you know, she was busy. She wrote also a play, co-wrote a play with mm-hmm. David Barr out of Chicago, and it ended up being called, I believe, The Face of Emmett Till. They're going to take that play, that group is going to take that play and adapt it to a big screen film as well. So 2016 is going to be an Emmett Till time, and it is time.
Yes.
There's too many things that are happening today that are tied to, they're closely tied to, that when people understand Emmett's story, they see the connection with what's happening today, the injustice, the brutality, the lack and the denial of justice, if you will,
mm-hmm.
and the intentional effort to send a message to us. So, yes, all, you know, Black Lives Matter. We need to stand up and say that. And we also
yes.
need to make a pledge to each other that this never, never should happen again.
That's right. I agree. I totally agree. Now, Ms. Watts, the Till family really could have created a hate group of division, resentment, unforgiveness. But instead, the Emmett Till Legacy Foundation was birthed. How did the foundation come to be, and what's the mission of the Emmett Till Legacy Foundation?
Yeah, thank you for asking. Well, I do want to say, you know, there's a little bit of history with this. Emmett Till's grandmother, Alma Spearman, started
mm-hmm.
the Emmett Till Foundation shortly after Emmett was murdered. I believe, you know, they had an intent to pour their energy and their efforts into young people. It was a Christian-based organization, faith-based organization, and they used that, and Mamie and its mother later used that as a way to inspire young people to speak. She
yes.
taught them all of Martin Luther King's speeches and traveled all across the country with them with that. So that is the Emmett Till Foundation, which still exists.
Mm-hmm.
The Emmett Till Legacy Foundation was based on a promise that I made to Mamie. I wrote a book in 1998 called 101 Ways to Know You're Black in Corporate America. And that
mm-hmm.
book, in that book, she co-wrote the foreword of the book. And as we talked about how to tie what was happening in corporate America with African Americans, you know,
right.
the beginning of the light and the inspiration, she tied
mm-hmm.
that back to Emmett. And I said, you know, we need to take this on a national basis. We need to expand
mm-hmm.
our work. And I promised her that I would do something, once I left corporate America, that I would do something. I wasn't exactly sure what or how,
right.
but that's what birthed the Emmett Till Legacy Foundation. In fact, her quote from the Civil Rights Memorial is one of our missions, and that is to make sure that young people are grounded so firmly that
mm-hmm.
though they sway, they will not topple. Because life can hit 7.1 on the Richter scale, as we all know.
Oh,
and
yeah.
we're experiencing that today. So we put in place ways to inspire, empower, encourage, to educate young people. And so there's a lot of things that we've done over the past 10 years. This is our 10th year that we've been in existence to try to do all
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, to do all those things, in addition to other family members who have done things, too. We've got family in Chicago that have started organizations. We've got family in Mississippi that have organizations going. So our family, you know, although this has been a tragedy that has happened, our family has poured our hearts and our lives into justice, number one.
Mm-hmm.
And then number two, into looking at how can we push this forward? How do we turn this ugly part into something that benefits family, that benefits our community, that benefits
right.
youth. So yeah, there are many of us. You'll hear about Till Family doing a variety of things. In fact, I'll tell you, this is the 60th anniversary of Emmett's murder.
Yes, and it's coming up August 28th, correct, in Chicago?
Exactly. Well, there's mm-hmm. things happening in Chicago, and I'm happy to say there are also things happening in Mississippi. We have a wonderful group, a collaborative group of individuals that are working together with the Emmett Till Legacy Foundation, the Emmett Till Justice for Families organization, mm-hmm. an organization with Dr. Adelia Carson, who's doing a luncheon. There's a lot of things. We also have the city council and others that are working with us in Mississippi, because Mississippi, you know, is a community or is a state, you know, where I hate to say this, but there's blood still on the hands and,
yeah.
and in that soil there in Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
And there's
mm-hmm.
still a cloud there, although there are many people that are trying to do some wonderful things, but our family is going to be leading the way. There are people there, my cousin Priscilla
mm-hmm.
Sterling, along with Laura Williams and others, you know, I don't want to name everybody, but those are key people, our cousins out of Chicago as well. So when you hear and see things, just know we're all focused on the same thing, not allowing people to forget
right.
and not ever. We don't want this to ever happen again to any other. So we may have different missions, or we may come together on some things, but
mm-hmm.
I'm just happy to say that there's going to be a lot going on in towards the end of this month. And just to name a few things, in Mississippi, there is this Cornerstone Baptist Church that's showing a film where Mamie visited there. That's going to take place August 27th. There's a
mm-hmm.
wonderful luncheon that's happening called the Emmett Till Memorial Luncheon on the 28th. We're
okay.
asking people on the 28th, and this is something we've done for a few years now, it's called A Time for Unity in Black and White. We're asking the nation and the world to wear black and white as
mm-hmm.
just a silent protest. Have a moment of silence at 12 noon. Wear your black and white, and that just represents a time for unity, a time for reflection, and a time for remembrance. And then we're asking people, share your pictures on Facebook. You can share it with us or any of the other collaboratives in organizations. But just show that we are unified in this way, because the 28th is a very important date. Then
mm-hmm.
after that, we're having a vigil at one of the local colleges there. And then Saturday, there is a parade. My cousin Priscilla Sterling is planning this wonderful parade that's taking place there on Saturday, along with the city council and others.
Oh, wow.
And we're going to board buses and take all of our guests to the Delta area. And we're going to go on a driving tour, a walking tour. We're going to go to the Intrepid Museum. And that's
mm-hmm.
actually how where the cotton gin was taken. There's a
beautiful
mayor, Thomas is going to open that up for us. Jesse James, one of our ambassadors, is going to be one of our hosts and tour guides. Patrick
mm-hmm.
Weems, who's opened up another museum, is going to be there as well. We have other guests that are
beautiful.
Coming in.
Beautiful.
As well as going to Chicago. So I just want your audience to know
wow.
there's a lot going on. We certainly want to invite you to come to Mississippi by all of our entertainers, even Will Smith and Jay-Z. We want them to come down, too. Their filming is going to be in those areas, and they need to meet these key people, our
uh-huh.
family members, because there's a lot of information. We want to support it. Now,
yes.
we want to be able to be a resource. We want to be able to, if there's hosting of screenings, we're ready to do that. We want to be
right.
a tool that they can use. So I want anyone to, if you talk to anyone, you talk to Jay-Z tomorrow, you let him know.
I'll let them know. I definitely will.
The family is ready. But yeah,
wonderful. Now, are these events on your website? Can people go to your website and see these events at EmmettTillLegacyFoundation.com?
Well, they will be. In fact, we're just tightening up a few things now, and I just kind of gave you a high level view. We're going to be
okay.
issuing a press release no later than Monday, which will have most of those details. Also, you can go to
We got the exclusive just now. Okay, exclusively first on Tribe Family Channel. All right.
And our relatives in Mississippi will be doing various different other media appearances, too, as of starting next week, you know, and soon. So we're just tightening up a couple of the details, as you can imagine, with a collaborative effort.
It's a lot of work, a lot of time together, but it's powerful.
Everybody's on the same page. And also keep an eye on what's happening in Chicago as well. I don't have all those details, but I know that if you go to @EmmettTill on Twitter or our Emmett Till Legacy Foundation on Instagram or Emmett Till Legacy Foundation on Facebook, we will be taking all the collaborative, making sure we recognize everybody that's involved, because we really appreciate everybody's effort, and we'll help publicize that along with the other groups we'll be publicizing it too. So we're excited about it. We know that it's going to be meaningful, especially for Mississippi. That's where it all happened, and we just want to invite everybody to join us there.
Amen. Amen. And it's just so needed. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing that you're doing. You know, I'm a strong believer that God turns pain into power, and things that appear to be bad are sometimes an illusion that leads us into destiny and purpose. Back in 2006, I created a nonprofit organization. It's called Nurturing Hearts, and it's a self-esteem and self-development organization for at-risk girls. So we help a lot of girls that have been physically, mentally, emotionally, some of them sexually abused, growing up in single-parent homes and in foster care units. And we just provide six-month programs and workshops. We teach self-esteem and healthy lifestyle choices, teach the girls leadership skills and goal setting and financial literacy. And I do the same for women as an inspirational speaker. And my passion and mission comes from growing up in a single-parent home. My father was in jail. My mother was on drugs. I was expelled from school, and I later got involved in some bad relationships. I experienced and overcame a nervous breakdown. But all of that, I believe, happened to me and for me to walk into my destiny today. And I believe, although Emmett Till is not here with us, he overcame for all of us right now, you know, here today, and you're still taking on the legacy, and the family is. And so I have another quote that I got from your website. For listeners, please, I encourage you to visit the Emmett Till Legacy Foundation website at www.emmetttilllegacyfoundation.com. And the quote here says, "Without having knowledge of important historical moments of the past, we are subject to have history repeat itself. It may not resemble the same type of injustice or the form of lynching that Emmett experienced, but lynching and injustice in the form of hopelessness, lack of adequate education, poverty, bad health, obesity, joblessness, early incarceration of youth, lack of civic and political engagement, and so many other forms of disenfranchisement." Ms. Watts, when you talk about lynching and injustice in the form of hopelessness, lack of adequate education and poverty, joblessness, early incarceration of youth, and lack of civic and political engagement, what can we do as a community, as individuals, to prevent the lynchings that are taking place in these areas today? When we speak on black-on-black crime that's been permeating our communities, and then the racism that has not just been showing its head, but trying to show its whole body in things such as the tragedy that happened in Charleston. What are some things that we should be doing as a community? You know, one of the most important things, I think, is learning the history, learning of what happened to Emmett Till, and learning, you know, about Martin Luther King and other advocates and other martyrs sent by God, you know, even though they were not knowing, learning about them and finding out what happened. So what are some areas, what are some places that you think that we need to either begin or keep going as far as with black-on-black crime and then the racism that's been showing its head again today?
Yes, and that is a wonderful question. And I'll tell you, we've been struggling, you know, with trying to do a variety of different things to help at least spark some thinking and a think tank around this and inclusive of young people, because mm-hmm. I think with your generation, you have some of the answers. And so when we are sitting around the table looking at ourselves and talking to ourselves, and we know that that hasn't gotten us much further, we need to be inclusive of you. So we can't do this yes. alone. Mm-hmm. But I can speak to one thing that's on our Never Again movement and pledge. This was done by young people. And just mm-hmm. recently, some of the things that they said were because we're struggling with how do we do this. And one of the young people said, you know, we've got to take that pledge. And that pledge says, I pledge to never again allow the ugly parts of our past history to become the present. Mm-hmm. I will forever stand up against racism, hatred, injustice, and crimes against our youth. Mm-hmm. I will always stand up for peace, justice, and equality for all. Mm-hmm. And one of the things they said is that, you know, what we need to do is make that promise to each other.
Yes.
If we didn't look each other in the eye, it's like making that promise to each other and our children by mm-hmm. first joining that movement and then making that pledge, looking them in the face and saying this to them, then we're connecting our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. And we have a sense of accountability for each other. Right now, we don't have that. Black Lives Matter is a wonderful effort, movement. I believe the gathering of you know, we're searching for those answers. We're searching for that connectivity. Mm-hmm. And I think that's great. But we like to offer this as one, as a personal way. So if you yes. look at someone and if I say to you, listen, I pledge to you that I won't mm-hmm. let this happen again, then I'm taking on some responsibility and accountability, and I'm willing to stand up. Now, not 100% of us are willing to do that, but I'll tell you, if we have more people than today that would take that pledge and make that stand and look us in the eye and look each other mm-hmm. in the eye, mm-hmm. I truly think things can change.
Absolutely.
Because right now we don't have that kind of bond. Now, you mentioned, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, so I'm going to say we do need like a cultural covenant. We need a covenant.
Yes, yes.
To be put in place for our people. That's what I was getting as you were reciting that. We need to definitely have a new covenant for mm-hmm. our culture. Mm-hmm.
And we're willing to expand that. This is just something that four college students came up with. They came up with the pledge. They came up with the logo. You can look at the Facebook page. It's Never Again mm-hmm. Movement and Pledge. Mm-hmm. And it is just a simple way. But when they talked about looking at each other in the face, making us responsible and accountable, and saying this to each other, if I say this to you, I say this to my neighbor's kid, say this to my grandchildren, then
right.
I have made a bond. I have made a covenant with them, as you said, which I love that. And we mm-hmm. definitely can talk about how to make this a little, you know, to expand it. We're not owning.
Definitely.
Any
you know,
this is
confirmation for you
yeah.
and also for myself, because it is about getting the younger generation. Although I may
yeah.
be a little younger than you, it's the generation before me, too, that we also have to teach. And
mm-hmm.
I just started a movement 3 weeks ago. It's called Generation Takeover. And these are young
mm.
activists that are standing up against nonviolence in
mm.
our community right now. And they're a group of young people, 14, 15, 16, 17-year-olds. We started off with about 10 students, and we're meeting every Friday, and it's growing. We have youth leaders that's being a part of it. They're recruiting some leaders from their youth groups. And it's a movement, and I would love the opportunity to take that covenant that you have, well, not a covenant, but the pledge that you
mm-hmm.
have, and actually imparted into our generational takeover, because that is going to be the start of where we need to go.
Well, I'll tell you,
that.
You just made my heart jump out of my chest, because this isn't owned by us. We just sponsored the launch of it in 2005. Can you believe it? 2005.
Wow.
And so with that, or let's see, 2010 is when we launched it. But
mm-hmm.
it's yours. It's yours. The image is out there. You can take it. You know, you can use it.
What is it called? What is it?
It's called Never Again, Movement
Never Again.
And Pledge.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so it is for. That's why we offered it for folks to adopt it if they felt that. Because listen, it is an obligation and responsibility. Not everybody's going to own up to it.
Right.
And so we understand that. But if you're ready to be an activist, at least at a minimum, we got to promise each other at least these few things. And those
That's right.
few things are major. And it is about, you know, I'll tell you, we said that when we first started out, you know, with our mission statement, adopting from Mamie, then we advanced a little bit to saying, you know, we are creating a bridge and building a bridge from the past to the present and future. And mm-hmm. so that gives us an obligation and an opportunity to reach back, to connect with what's happening today, and to
right.
think about how it impacts the future. So we
mm-hmm.
ask ambassadors, you can join in with us on to take that covenant, take that pledge, do with it whatever you want. That's what it's there for. We don't own that. Those college students put that together. We did a contest for the image. They chose the image. The adults, more older crowd, chose something a little bit more graphic. This is
mm-hmm.
simple for them, simple to understand. And
right.
we are even looking for somebody to put an app together for it for the universe. Because
yes.
we truly think, you know, if it spoke to your heart, then that's confirmation for us too. But like
okay.
I said, we don't own it. This is for the universe. And
okay.
so you'll see it at various marches. You'll see, you know, so that image, and I can share with you, you know, the image. You can take it. We have little mini cards, like business card size, that has
mm-hmm.
the image on the front and the pledge on the back. And we pass that out wherever we are. If I get my business card out, they'll get that Never Again pledge card too. But we've got to make it come alive. It's going to take people like you and others and the younger generation to understand
mm-hmm.
what it means and to make
right.
it come alive. You just made my heart just jump out of my chest.
Well, that's okay, because
I
was just thinking, because we're just developing the curriculum, and I said, we need a pledge. We need some kind of a pledge
oh.
to recite. And so when you said that, it was like confirmation, right? That's just the Lord working. That's all it is.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Well, I love it.
Ms. Watts, if someone would like to become a part of the Image to Legacy Foundation or would like more information, how may they contact you? Would it be the website? Do you have another way of contact? How would you prefer to be contacted for any
yes,
questions?
Well, you know, yeah, and I appreciate that question. Yes, we have ambassadors that we have across the country, people like Dick Gregory, Dr. Ife Williams, Dr. Farrah
mm-hmm.
Gray, and others in a variety of different communities, whether they're celebrity or leaders or people that are just concerned citizens that are helping us spread the word. And again,
okay.
like I said, we don't own this. We don't own Emmett. We just want his death to not be in vain for people not to forget or
right.
to not forget, I should say. And so
right.
with that, they can contact us at our, I have an email address, which is info@EmmettTillLegacyFoundation.com. That
okay.
is our email address, you know, to send us information. We can send some out to them. And then also, we do have social media. We'd love
Yay.
To invite people to join us on Twitter, and that's at Emmett Till, that's the at sign, and then EmmettTill.
Okay.
And we also have Instagram, and that's
mm-hmm.
under EmmettTillLegacyFoundation.com.
Okay.
We have our website, and we even have a blog. Blogspot,
mm-hmm.
the old version of the Blogspot.
That's all right.
We do have, it's there, it's functioning, you know, it works.
And all avenues, all avenues we want to touch.
Exactly. And I would be remiss if I didn't tell you that in Mississippi and across the country, my cousins in Mississippi and others, we have been working on a resolution for some time. And so we collaborated with the Emmett Till Memorial Commission. This is a diverse mix of community people that were right there in the Delta area that came together and
mm-hmm.
actually in 2007 issued an apology to our family. And so with that, we have came up with a resolution that mm-hmm. people can read in the organization. They can mm-hmm. give it to their legislators, but we're just saying adopt this, because what it is essentially saying, and I'm trying to pull it up on my iPad right now, and basically, you know, it's on our Facebook page, and it's on that blog spot too. But basically, mm-hmm. it is in a nutshell, it's about reconciliation. It's about telling the truth, encouraging the country and our citizens to tell the truth. Because if we don't put the truth out there, what really happened? How much hate was in our country, and how it's creeping back up today? We're never going to change anything. And it gives mm-hmm. a little bit of the history of Emmett, and it talks about the grand jury, you know, not indicting the murderers. It talks about the trial, and then it talks about the citizens of every community acknowledging that the horrific nature of this crime, its legacy, has haunted our nation, and we need to understand the system that encouraged these events and others mm-hmm. like them to occur so that we can ensure that it never happens again. And right. we want to encourage people to work together to yeah. have, because when we do that, we can have the power to fulfill that promise of liberty, peace, and justice for all. And then mm-hmm. we've incorporated that pledge in there too. So I'd like to, you know, encourage folks to get that, and on Emmett Till's Day, on August 28th, to read that pledge wherever you are, where you're black and white. Have your right. moment of silence at 12 noon. You can upload your pictures to each other or to us. We don't, you know, just have that silent, powerful way of saying, this is a time for unity. It's a time for remembrance. It's a time for reflection. And here's this wonderful resolution that's been put together that I think has some teeth in it, has some meat in it that our country can adopt. So I'd like yes. to encourage you all to look at that as well.
Definitely. Thank you. Thank you so much, Ms. Weiss. Well, I know myself and my students will definitely be on board and have on our black and white in remembrance of Emmett Till on August 28th. Ms. Weiss, and I definitely would love to connect with you later, just to discuss the Never Again movement and the pledge. But I want to thank you for your time, your dedication and commitment. And I encourage you, support and pray that God mm-hmm. continues to use you, to keep you, and to keep the Emmett Till's legacy of positivity and equality alive. And God bless you. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure meeting you and having you on the show.
Well, thank you so much. And I just want to say, you know, it's not one person that can drive this. You know, it takes a lot of us. And I have relatives across this country that feel the same way that I do, that mm-hmm. have done a variety of different things. They're wonderful resources. And I would encourage you to come to Mississippi. You'll get to meet many of them. Go to Chicago, too. You'll meet some of them there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And just know that we, you know, through our pain, we're moving forward. We're not stepping backwards. We're going to reflect backwards, but we're moving forward. And so we're doing a variety of different things. And it takes all of us, our ambassadors, our relatives, our support system, our boards, and people to donate, you know, to our scholarship fund. We mm-hmm. even have something called Expressions that's going to be launched on the 28th as well. So look out for that. And I can just tell you, that's simply having people express how they feel about Emmett in any kind of art form, whether it's written, spoken word, and just mm-hmm. submit it to us, and we'll publish it. We'll put it on every form of social media that we have and make sure that it gets published, you know, through our – I have a publishing company, too, and I know the folks that with this radio station have publishing companies. So we're, you know, we're collaborating and just trying to put some fuel and some fire out there, because the wake-up call has been launched. It's time to wake up, America, and it's yeah. time for us to come together, make a difference, and just never forget Emmett Till and what he meant and what he's going to mean going forward. So I invite Will Smith, Chaz Ebert, Jay-Z, and any of them, David Banner, and all Mississippians, you know, to be a part of this, and anyone that where this speaks to their heart, yourself and others and students as well, because I speak across, you know, the country as well. Many of my mm-hmm. cousins do as well.
Mm-hmm.
We have a women's empowerment movement called Loving from the Inside Out. We do an annual women's Empowerment Symposium, where we do recognize women of courage that have similar courage that Mamie had. And that sounds like you might be a candidate for that. So, it takes a little courage to step out there and make a statement and take a stand. So we recognize women like that that have done it, like Janet Langhart Cohen, you know, who has a play called Anne and Emmett. She got a tree planted on the White House grounds in honor of Emmett.
Oh, wow.
Just this year. So there are women that are stepping out there doing wonderful things that are keeping Emmett's name alive, and we want to recognize them. And also the young people. We were able to recognize some of the front line of Ferguson, Corey Bush, along with Queen Kay and many others, Alicia Garza, you know, all those folks who've done some things. So they were part of our last effort in March when we had our 7th Loving from the Inside Out Women's Empowerment Symposium. So stay tuned for that. We could collaborate on that too. So we're just open.
Definitely.
We're just happy. We're happy that you are interested, that this radio station's interested, and we know that it's going to grow. And I appreciate your prayers. I appreciate your support.
Oh, and
all this validation. We need it to keep going. And I think if the country keeps on this pathway that it's in now, many of the other families are going to need it too. And so we just join together with them in prayer, and hopefully this is the end. Hopefully this is the end. There's, you know, let Emmett Till be one of the first, and let Mike Brown, let Rekia Boyd, let Oscar Grant, Freddie Gray, be the last.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Ms. Deborah Watts, who is the co-founder, director, and president of the Emmett Till Legacy Foundation and the cousin of the late Emmett Till. Thanks again, Ms. Watts, and I look forward to connecting with you later. I'm going to now turn it back over to the host of Tribe Family Channel, Ms. Beverly Black Johnson.
Thank you so much, ladies, ladies, ladies. What a powerful, powerful discussion. So much to be shared. I want to thank both of you. Deborah, thank you so much. You know we'll be talking. And Shantae, you are such a wonderful gift to Tribe Family Channel. I want to thank you for your time and your talent. Now, we know where to find you online, Deborah. Shantae, where can we find you online, and give us your website for your youth group?
My website is www.nurturing, that's nurturing-hearts.org, and my email address is nurturing, nurturing, hearts, hearts, all one word, 05@gmail.com.
Thank you so much. And you can find Tribe Family Channel at www.tribefamilychannel.com, on Twitter at Tribe Family US. I am the creator of Tribe Family Channel, Beverly Black Johnson, and you can connect with me on Twitter at Gumbo for the Soul, or my website, the parent company of Tribe Family Channel, which is Gumbo for the Soul International, at gumbofortheSoul.com. Coming up next month on Tribe Family Channel, Deborah mentioned her. Pastor Corey Bush is the pastor of Kingdom Embassy International and an activist and organizer for Ferguson's Frontline in Ferguson, Missouri. She will be joining our show on September the 3rd. Same time, same location, 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. So we definitely want to point your attention to TribeFamilyChannel.com, Voices of Wisdom, Season 4. And then also we want to thank our supporters of Tribe Family Channel, the Tribe Bookshelf sponsors, Getting Away with Murder, The True Story of the Emmett Till Case by Chris Crow. We want to thank Karen D. Washington. Her book is entitled Rose from Out of the Ashes. We want to thank Ramel T. Lee. Step into His Greatness is her book. Wanda J. Burnside, we want to thank you. The name of her book is Don't Mess With Me.
Who do you think you are? And we also want to thank Mike J. O'Brien, his book, We Shall Not Be Moved, The Jackson Woolworth Sit-In and the Movement It Inspired. Loretta Hardrick, A Poet's Music, Grant Writing for Dummies, Beverly Browning, The Battle of a Daytime Nightmare, Dr. Thelma Battle Buckner, Behind the Shades, Hope Beyond Darkness, Sheila Ray Charles, and last but certainly not least, Geraldine Hollis, one of the Tougaloo Nine, and her book, Back to Mississippi. Tribe Family Channel is brought to you and executively produced by Bruce George Media. So we want to thank all of you for getting involved, and being that this is the historical day of the Voting Rights Act, we also want to mention that you all can log on to rockthevote.com and follow a bunch of other supporters that are on board for seeing to it that the Voter Rights Act is enforced and that the voter turnout is increased. Blacks and brown folks have the lowest demographics for being registered to vote, and there are different reasons for that, including suppressing the right to vote. So we encourage you to get involved, because you can't have a voice without voicing your vote and making a difference in this country. Deborah and Shantae, again, thank you so much. It is indeed an honor, privilege, and pleasure to have had you on the show. And we're going to sign off, giving the last word to our sponsor, Bruce George. He is the co-founder of Deaf Poetry Jam, and his newly lexicon to the American language is Genius is Common. So we're going to sign off with that.
Greetings. My name is Bruce Jones. I'm the founder of the slogan Genius is Common. The word genius. Genius to common basically is going to be a straight down from the inverse wall of the word genius. What you might be able to do is to join us around the world in tearing everybody this word down. What you might be putting it in is what we call it. It's actually out here. Doing around the world is we are uploading videos to YouTube expressing what our individual genius is. We would love for you to. When you upload your video, make sure that you include the hashtag #GeniusIsCommon and geniusiscommon.com. We're looking forward to you being a part this morning. Signing off.
Hello.